Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
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 Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's so awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome.
That's awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Steve! Jeremy!
Bradford!
What's going on, guys?
Jeremy!
Hey!
Yes.
Yeah, Jeremy is with us again, the transporter.
Ah, yes, guys.
It feels good, doesn't it, buddy?
Yes, guys, it does.
It feels so good.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you guys
for having me. It's an honor to be here.
It gets so unnatural every time the microphone
goes on.
It's great.
I love it.
It
makes me so happy. So we are on the tail end of our July tour.
Yeah.
We are in the state of Arizona. We are in the city of...
Whoa.
Scottsdale?
Phoenix.
We flew into Phoenix, but I think we actually are in the Scottsdale area. We had a really lovely day.
We had a great day, but first, yesterday was kind of a long day. We had a great day in Houston. We'll go through all these days, but we landed it at midnight pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, and in hot weather climates, they have indoors is 50 degrees.
Yeah.
And then we walk out, and literally we're, whew, this hot air.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like my contacts were melting on my eyeballs.
Well, that's part of the problem that since you don't switch contacts on the regular schedule, that may be part of your issue, too. I'm just saying.
Don't
blame it all on Arizona.
Don't backtalk.
Blame it on your poor habits.
Jackal?
Yes.
Jeremy, can you take care of this guy?
Oh, absolutely.
But seriously, I was oh my gosh, I can't believe this. I'm walking around like a walking dead. I'm like just asking random people, why do you live here? Can someone answer me?
Is this normal?
Why do you live here? Are my eyes going to be okay? You know, and it's just crazy, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, I was nervous to put them back in this morning because I wasn't sure if maybe they had shrunk last night.
Dude,
do you know?
I was just hoping to be able to see in the morning.
Do you remember those things that they were like little plastic cutouts and you put them them in the sand and you put them in the oven and they would harden?
Yes.
Yes, what were they called? Shrinky dinks? No.
Something like that, it might have been.
Maybe,
yeah.
Were they shrinky
dinks? Where you make like necklaces and stuff?
Yeah, they became little hard plastic figures.
That's what you thought your contact was going to be?
I thought I was going to get like a shrinky dink.
Nope.
Well,
wait a second.
Hold on. You just had a shrinky dink in the pool.
Yeah, I was like,
watch your mouth.
Why are you saying shrinky dink 5 times?
That was uncomfortable for every listener.
Yeah, I think it was.
Moving on.
But we have our last show tonight in Phoenix. We're very excited to play Phoenix again.
Yeah, CB Live. We're playing a new place.
Gosh, yeah.
Here, which has been. Yeah, man, look, dude, this is amazing that we get to go out on the road for. I know we say this all the time, but it truly is amazing. And a lot of these venues we're starting to outgrow.
Yes.
Which is
crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, first we were doing places that were 200, 225, 275. Now we're doing places that are 300. Houston sold out yesterday. That was 400.
Right.
You know, so it's just been this incredible ride so far. And so we're doing CB Live tonight in Phoenix.
Right.
Which is a new, it's an entertainment venue. It's not just comedy, it's music. They do a lot of stuff there. So we're really looking forward to doing CB Live tonight. So, we started. It's always funny because we all have to kind of plan our trips out because we're coming from three different places.
Right.
And we landed in Richmond. We did the Funny Bone there, right?
We did.
Yeah, the Funny Bone. We started on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We started on Tuesday at the Funny Bone in Richmond.
Yeah, I took a red eye Monday night into Richmond. And then it's crazy that you just can't get to Richmond from anywhere.
That's what I said. You had some friends there. We met Richmond.
One of my dearest high school friends that I've known since high school. Still one of my dearest friends, but I met her back in high school at a summer camp at Syracuse University for theater. And as a high school theater kid, I hadn't quite found my people yet in New Hampshire, right? And I felt like I found them that summer, and she was one of them. And so to see her again was amazing.
Yeah, and then we were talking to them backstage after the show, and I'm like, man, you guys just don't want people to come to Richmond, Virginia, ever, because it was so difficult. I mean, even from LAX, it was so difficult to get there.
Right.
You know, and of course, I thought my plane was delayed, and I always go through Dallas, which is always a huge mistake, because 9 out of 10 times.
Well, thunderstorms and weather.
Yeah, I'm delayed
right,
or I miss my flight. And of course, they said, you're not going to make it. And then that starts the trip out with some anxiety. And then finally I did make it. And Jeremy made it.
I was delayed as well.
You were delayed a little bit. But we had a nice day because we were in a day earlier, a little earlier than
you. You guys had actually some time there on Monday to...
A little bit. Yeah. And then, we did the show Tuesday.
Yeah. Tuesday. And it was an older club, but it was super quaint. And it was a great crowd.
Yeah, great crowd. A lot of fun. Richmond was...
It was a nice way to start off. We've never had a bad show, right?
No.
But at the same time, when you have a super great one to start, it just kind of is. When we're doing our onstage things, like a lot of the things that we say are contained bits, right?
Right.
So you'll have like a 2-minute bit that will end with a punchline or whatever. And then there's a transition to something else that is not necessarily sometimes it might be a bit of a non sequitur, as they say, right? So, and that's one of the hardest things coming back to doing our show after not doing it for a month or whatever, is remembering.
There's no warm up.
We don't
have a warm up. Our warm up's on stage.
We run through the words in our head, but when you're on stage and you're dealing with live interaction, sometimes people will shout something out that you want to respond to. So your through line in your head isn't always. Sometimes there's little detours in there, and that's the hardest thing is connecting your bits and remembering what you're doing next sometimes. And there is no greater fear than all of a sudden being up there and not knowing what you're going to do next.
It's happened.
If we forget lines on stage at GH, that's unfortunate, but not a big deal because. There's someone there to
help
you
pick it up,
and you can do it again.
Yeah.
But when you're on a live stage and people are just waiting for you to say something,
300 people are staring at you, and I'm like, I have no idea where I'm going in my head right now.
I have no idea.
Everything just went blank.
Oh, it's the worst.
But the cool thing about it is you have little contained bits, so you can go to one
if you remember one of those.
If you go full blown panic and you go completely blank, you're dead. You're done.
You're dead.
And that's what,
ladies and gentlemen, Steve Burton. I go out there for like a minute.
Dude, because I was thinking on stage yesterday because Houston, we did a huge show.
Yeah.
In Houston, it was a huge room, and I'm like, I hope Bradford just pays attention because. If I forget something and I can't remember it, I'm going to go, Bradford Anderson, ladies and gentlemen. And then I'm like, Bradford Anderson, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, he's at the bar.
Yeah.
Bradford.
Oops.
Get out of here.
Dude, I have 20 more minutes of drinking time before I'm supposed to go on. Leave me alone.
This is my prep. That was fun. Richmond was fun. That's where the boot.
Oh, dude, this whole tour has been the saga of the boot.
Jeremy was
the very first show. I'm out to dinner with my friend that we just talked about.
Hold on, before you say that, Jeremy, how did it start? Because we went in to check the room, remember? And then we're walking, and he hears this weird noise. He's like,
wow. Well, I thought you passed some gas. I didn't want to say anything.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. I was like, what is that, a duck, or what are you happy?
Oh, he just did that to me.
And I'm behind him.
He just crop dusted me.
So I'm like, psh, that's not what it sounded like. But the boot, man, it started like slapping when I was walking. I'm like, what the hell? And I look down and the whole, like three quarters of the sole is unglued.
Sure.
Because it's the boots that I've had on GH for
20 years. When is the last
time
you've worn them?
Oh, dude.
Were they, so they're?
8-9 years ago. They've been in storage.
Oh my gosh.
They've been in storage and heat and whatever.
Oh, sure.
They've
been
in storage. So, and they're old.
Well, yeah.
So, so I'm like, oh no, dude, I have no other shoes.
Right.
And I'm like, Jeremy's like, oh, let's just find some super glue. And the guy there, Buzz, had a tube of super glue for me.
Of course
me,
he did.
Right.
Buzz.
Prepared.
Full utility belt.
And that kind of worked. And Jeremy found a roll of duct tape just in case.
Right.
Right.
It was black duct tape.
Yeah, just in case it didn't
work. Well,
yeah,
gray duct tape.
And I called Bradford, and he was absolutely zero help.
Well,
here's what a caring friend that I am, right?
Well, there's no electronics in it.
No, there's no technology. So he's like, I don't care, dude. So here's what a caring friend I am. Dude, you're on a red eye. Let's just make sure you get picked up and you can come back and nap and get some sleep and just make sure you're fresh. That's all I say when he takes a ride. I go, dude, I just need to make sure you get your sleep and you're ready. You're fresh and you're ready to go. And then I text him. I go, dude, I have an emergency. My boot is not working. Can you just get me some Gorilla Glue? I know you're out by the CVS somewhere. Over there. He goes, why don't you go to Macy's next door and buy yourself a new pair? This bastard. I'm like, that's not the response.
Dude, I'm out.
Two married people should give each other.
I'm out to dinner with my friends. I'm biting into my Beyond Burger at this burger place. And Steve's like, go to Walmart and get me glue. I'm like, dude, our show starts in like 45 minutes. There's a Macy's next door. Like, it'll take me.
Well, that's why texting is not the best.
It'll take me 15 minutes to get to the Walmart. Oh, man. I was like. Yeah, sorry.
So it worked. It's
I didn't come through for you.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Jeremy did.
Yeah.
So we got it settled, and it held up until
the next day.
No, when did it?
I think it did.
Where was it?
I think it snapped that night. If not for sure.
It didn't make it through the Richmond show.
No,
it didn't make it through the Richmond show because you had to tape it.
No, that wasn't Richmond. I taped it.
Oh, it wasn't?
No, that was 2 days later. But who cares
at
this point? But I was super gluing it, and I was trying to not walk. And he's like, "Dude, you're walking like an astronaut. Why?"
Because you kept going.
So I was just trying not to pick up the sole. But anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
So we did Richmond, and then.
Then we drove.
The
next day we drove to Greensboro, and we'd never been there before. And we, you know. The club was not in the center of Greensboro. Like, so we're pulling up to where it said, our GPS said the club was, and we come to this intersection. There's a gas station, a self-like storage place, and then like just trees, nothing. And I'm like, where is this club? And then we look in the corner of the other corner, and behind some trees we see this old sign that says, you know, the
Comedy Zone?
Comedy Zone, yeah. And this building was, so we found it. It's like this octagonal wooden building.
With like 70s rock.
Hexagonal maybe.
Yeah.
Octagonal or hexagonal.
Oh, stop using big words.
And it was this wooden building. And I mean, I think it's from the 80s or 70s or 80s.
Probably, yeah.
And it was like, I think the guy said it was a tile business before it became a comedy club.
Wow.
And I mean, it was so cool that like the shape of the building was cool.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, I mean, you can tell that it's from a different era.
Sure.
So the air conditioning system was also from
a different era. Yeah. So that was the staff,
everybody was
Paul.
Awesome.
It was an amazing place. We had some obstacles there because it was very hot and I wear black t-shirts, so sweat does not come through, and literally I could wring it off when I got off the stage. So So Greensboro was
steamy.
Was hot.
But everybody was a good sport
there. Yeah, it was amazing.
You know,
yeah,
everybody,
sport.
You know, I think people had a good time. Everyone was staying hydrated, either with
beer.
Sweet tea or beer. So,
or water. no water. Sweet tea or beer.
Yeah.
So we did that, and then our next show is in North Carolina. No,
Alabama.
Huntsville.
So that was the one. Yeah. After Greensboro, we had to leave. It was like an eight-hour drive to Huntsville the next day if we wanted to wait till the next day. And, you know, we were a little nervous about that just in terms of, you know. So we decided, since where we were in Greensboro, there was nothing around us.
Nothing.
There was nothing. We would have to drive back into Greensboro to find a hotel. So we said, you know what? After the show in Greensboro, let's get a bit of a leg up on the next day. So we drove to Asheville, which was on the way to Huntsville, and stayed in Asheville and got a good night's sleep.
Great night's sleep.
And then drove into Asheville in the morning to get some local coffee and went to the High Five coffee
shop. High Five,
shop.
Yeah, good job,
so
High Five.
So good. Yeah. And Asheville, what a cool town that was.
Cool town to drive through. We don't get to spend a lot of time, but...
Yeah, so...
You know, this has been a... This has been planes, trains, and automobiles on this one.
Mm.
And I hope Bradford didn't drive the whole time either, which was good for you.
Yeah, thanks for spelling me, gents.
Yeah, so that was great. And so we drove to Huntsville.
And Huntsville, we had played with Port Chuck, what? Someone said it was only 2 years ago, and I was like, that can't be right.
No, because I wasn't back on GH yet.
Right.
So it was probably three.
Yeah.
Three and a half. It might have been.
I don't know. I was like, the guy said, oh, I was the manager when you guys were here with Port Chuck. And I was like, oh, like 5-6 years ago? And he's like, no, it was like a year and a half, man.
No,
I was
he
like,
was.
No.
No.
Can't be.
He was smoking something.
Yeah.
But Stand Up Live was great.
Yeah, yeah,
fantastic
club.
In Huntsville, great club, great, just fun.
Audience was,
dude,
awesome.
Bananas!
It was.
I mean, I couldn't even start, I mean, we couldn't even do,
dude, it was,
like, it was so,
there was so much energy.
It was amazing.
It was great.
Oh, that's where you taped me up.
You did.
That's where, during one of the bits.
Your boot broke.
My boot broke, and he got the Gorilla duct tape. And taped it up.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
I took
Remember,
a
we
of that.
Went like a half hour over there.
We did.
Yeah, they hated us for that. But sorry.
Oops.
We usually try to stick to 90 minutes, but it was like we were coming up with new bits and things were happening, and we were just kind of rolling with it, which is great. Because sometimes you can do something that's exactly, hey, these are our bits.
Right.
Let's not be super loose.
Sure.
During them, let's get to 90.
Right.
This time we were super loose and
soup's loose
and improvising and doing everything, and it ended up being almost a two-hour show.
Yeah.
And then we did VIP afterwards, which is always fun.
Well, because sometimes the big open area in our show that which can either expand or contract is we do like a 10 to 15 minute Q&A in the middle, just in case people want to ask questions. And sometimes it's really fun. Sometimes people ask really interesting questions. Sometimes the people that ask the questions are characters and want to have fun, and so they'll ask a question that will launch us into a bit, or they'll like I'm always the one in the audience, so like sometimes I'll start a little banter with the person and then it'll bleed over into something fun for everybody, right?
For sure.
Sometimes people ask a question that we can't answer,
right?
Or and sometimes we can do something fun with that, but sometimes they ask a question that, you know, either we can't answer or is just kind of out there and it goes nowhere sometimes,
right.
You know? And then sometimes people don't have questions. So that's always, you know, so sometimes we do a long Q&A, which I think we did in Huntsville.
Yeah, because we did.
Because we were having, it was so much
fun. Because it was quick and people were asking, you know, questions that were relatable to everybody else.
Sure,
and then moving on. But Huntsville was overall.
So that's why our show ended up being almost 2 hours.
Yeah. So Huntsville was great.
Because after the Q&A, we go into two separate segments that we always do, and they are about 20 to 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And, so if we go, we usually start the Q&A around like 55 to 60 minutes in.
Yeah.
And if that goes to 10, if that goes to, you know, 70 minutes and we only have 20 minutes to finish, then we're tight.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So then our next stop was Dallas.
Yes.
This is actually Addison, which is outside of Dallas.
Which Addison seems like its own city.
I mean, it's that from what I hear, that's where it's popping.
Is it?
Is Addison.
Addison is popping off?
Yeah, it's popping off there. It's popping off. It's cool because we had some time there. We got to have a nice dinner.
That's right. Oh, we went to Fogo de Chao.
Fogo de Chao, I've never been to. You've never been to.
Dude, I don't eat a whole lot of meat. I think I reached my monthly meat quota, or maybe my quarterly meat quota. Well,
Jeremy shut them down. So they're like, no more meat for you, my friend. You're done.
I mean,
go back to the buffet.
It was so good.
It's
so
crazy. Good. So good. It's crazy.
So they come around and they give you the meat, right? They say, oh, would you like some pork loin or some lamb chop?
Right.
Or some,
well, it's all on a stick
on
and they're
a stick
cutting
and they
it
cut
off.
It with a very dangerous knife.
I know.
And they're like, get the tongs, grab it off. I go, okay, great. And so, you know, they come around and be like, oh, would you like some pork shoulder? I said, no, thank you.
Right.
Jeremy, yeah.
Jeremy was the yes.
Oh, would you like some lamb chop? No, thank you. Yeah.
Yes.
Prime rib? Yeah. Sirloin? Yes. Yeah. Filet? Yeah. Yes. Beef jerky? Sure.
Yeah. Lamb chop.
And when you guys come around again? Because yeah. I'll be ready.
Just stay right here.
Stay right here.
Well, they had that thing. Let's tell them you had like a little card. It was almost like a...
like a coaster.
Yeah, like a coaster. And when you were ready for meat...
you'd flip it over.
You'd flip it over to yes.
Yes, to the green side.
Yes.
To the green side. And when
red
you were,
would stop, and we stopped before you.
And I left it green.
Yes, you did.
Because green is good.
And everyone listening is like, yes, guys, we've been to Fogo.
Yeah,
Chow.
We have never been.
Shut
so anyway.
The heck up.
So we had a nice night. We went to a place afterward and played some games, like a Dave and Buster's, but it wasn't. It was cool. But our show in Addison was great. It was sold out.
It was
weeks
it
was, before, which was amazing.
Yeah. Great staff there.
Great staff. It was improv.
We're so lucky. Now that we're playing like improvs and funny bones and like everywhere we go is awesome. You know, we're always
yeah,
so
everybody's
lucky.
So great.
Everybody's so lucky. But yeah, this club in Addison was tremendous.
It was hot. It was hot.
Yeah, but
it was hot
outside. Oh, it was hot outside. But the AC was of this. Of
it
this,
was fine. Century. The AC was a little hot. I was sweating up there. And
so you work hard.
We're working. I got to get my leather jacket on too, or my pleather jacket you bought me.
Yeah.
So we're
doing
you're
not the one that wears a sweater in the act.
And a mullet. So we're up there.
We're up there.
Doing our thing.
Yep.
And
I happened to be wearing my sweater at the time.
Yes.
And it's one of the sillier things we do during the show. And we were in the middle of this silliness.
Yeah, I heard something that wasn't...
it didn't sound like a normal crowd sound from our show.
Yeah, I heard something like... call a doctor or something.
Something
it was some kind of...
someone was in peril.
Yes, someone was in peril. And that's exactly what happened. So,
And in those moments, when there's any sort of peril, you and I look to Jeremy.
Yeah.
Because, he's well-equipped. If anybody's hurt, Jeremy is well-equipped because, you know, he's a well-accomplished ER nurse. And also, he just handles things with aplomb.
Yeah, and he does not panic.
He does not panic.
Like, everybody started being, call 911! The whole place was starting to get crazy. I'm like, everyone, calm down.
Right.
Calm down, back away. So,
Jeremy was on the floor. So, we were on stage, so we couldn't see him. We had lights in our eyes, so we couldn't see. Jeremy was on the floor, so he could actually see what happened.
What happened, from your perspective, what happened?
She was sitting towards the back. And I think, honestly, I think she, at that point, she'd just gotten overheated.
Yeah.
Something did she fall down?
I think she passed out there at the table.
Yeah.
And I think I didn't see her if she physically fell out of the chair.
Right. Sure.
Or if she just kind of passed out there at the table and then was helped to the floor.
Right.
But when I got over there, they were asking her questions. Hey, you know,
she was conscious.
She was. She was breathing. She was, she was talking.
Right.
And at that moment for me, that's all
that can be done
at that time.
Right.
That's like, great. You know, I mean, yeah, they definitely need. You know, they called 911,
which they should do.
Absolutely.
And 911 was in there under 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was amazing.
5 minutes.
It was.
Yeah.
They were awesome, and it's amazing because for Jeremy has seen the worst of the worst of the worst, and I mean, we could do a whole podcast of the worst thing he's seen.
Yeah.
But for us and everyone else, it's a panic, right?
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
We remained calm, but a lot of people, call 911. There could have been really a big problem, right?
Right, sure.
And I go, Jeremy, and he's just cool as, I mean, just cool as a cucumber. Like, literally goes over, okay, she's breathing. There's no blockage. She's fine. And steps back.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was it. And he goes, paramedics will come and do their job.
So,
so what was the ABC thing you say?
Well, it's just airway.
Oh.
You know, obviously she was breathing.
Yeah.
Circulation, she has a pulse, she's talking.
Yeah.
I mean, those are just, I mean, at that moment, that's...
there's nothing else that you can physically
do.
No,
I mean,
she didn't need any emergency care in that exact
moment. No, right? not at that point. And we, I think, you know, do we ever find out later on?
Yeah, so what? So we got a message. So what, like when the paramedics come, you told us, because you were telling us in the car, that they put her on a stretcher, probably give her an IV in the ambulance.
Yeah, normally they get down there. They normally leave them on the floor. I mean, it's in that situation, obviously you're not going to get her up unless she starts getting up her own. You know, we don't know. We don't know why she was on the floor.
Sure.
Are we going to get her up? Is she going to get dizzy, pass out again? You don't want to, you know, create a different situation. But so she stayed on the floor. They came in. They were actually just as calm too. I think they had saw her as well.
Yeah.
They moved their stretcher over. They got her up on it. And
so in the ambulance, they'd probably give her an IV.
Yeah, they'll probably EKG, they'll look to see, maybe throw an IV in her. They're going to check. They're going to ask her. You know, I don't think she was having chest pain.
Carefully place an IV, not just throw it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they say throw it in.
They can. Yeah, absolutely.
We can't.
They will carefully assess for a proper placed IV and place it in a very
there
nice
you go,
way.
Lady.
Throw it.
But, yes, it just depends on what, you know, at that moment, if it was some dehydration, you know, she probably could have used some fluids. It was hot. They may have and that's normally in that situation if they feel like she blacked out. Yeah, they probably threw an IV in, maybe start some fluids, at least get that going down the road. And then, and sometimes they also do like an EKG. They'll take a look and see, you know, was she in a regular heart, you know, heart rhythm? Was there something going on there too? And they can at that
what
point, they can send
a regular heartbeat. What could have caused this irregular heartbeat?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe Steve Burton.
I mean, that's actually what I was going to say. They could do
that. That was the worst, stupidest laugh I've ever heard you say.
But anyways, they can.
So
and if
not
it's something
genuine
that's,
at all. Right, yeah.
And if it's something they see that, you know, that they can actually, you know, most of them they can send it to the hospital ahead of time.
Sure.
Say, this is here's coming, and here's an EKG. And a lot of times they can look at it there.
So we did hear from them,
we got
and she's
a message.
Fine.
She's fine. They're like, sorry we ruined your show. You didn't ruin the show.
No.
We made sure she was safe. She got out.
We took a couple-minute break just because we figured...
A couple-minute break, and we started
of everything, you know, giving people that are going to solve the situation space.
Yes, correct.
And I was in a sweater and a silly wig, and I didn't think I would...
Dude, it was so funny watching the video. You're like...
It's funny. Jeremy was behind it. Jeremy had a side stage view, so you could like see our profile, and I'm in this silly wig and a sweater, and I'm like, all of a sudden I go out of character. Yeah. So like I'm just like concerned Bradford, but in this ridiculous getup, and it looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
So we took a couple minute break just to make sure everybody had the space to do what they needed to do. We came back out. We did not do questions that night because I think it was about 15 minutes of our show that. So we didn't do questions.
So she's fine.
And she's fine.
Thank God she's fine. Everything's good.
And everybody there had a good time. And when we came back out, everybody was still ready to have a good time.
Yep.
You know, like everyone came back with energy and met us there. You know, it was awesome. So. Thank you to Dallas for
handling that correctly.
Yeah, the club did a great job.
Everybody did.
Addison EMS, you're champs.
Jeremy,
you're a champ.
The transporter.
Hey, everybody. So many of you follow us on Facebook, and boy, do we have fun on our Facebook page, the Stone Cold and the Jackal Facebook page. We have so much fun. And recently, Facebook has given us an opportunity to have even more fun.
That's right. There's a pilot program that Facebook's offering now for supporters. And it's always something you and I have talked about, more content, exclusive content, and we've always looked for a way to do it. But now Facebook has made it easy for us because most people are on Facebook and we don't have to migrate people to another place. So thank you, Facebook, for that. Now you can become a supporter to see exclusive content. And this past trip, we've launched a ton, like... showing your sound check.
Correct.
Behind the scenes stuff. We always do a little bit of live, show the dressing room. We answer questions after the show. So
Swimming in the pool,
yes. I mean, there's so many things that we can do because we can go live anytime. Then there's going to be certain things that are scheduled that people can kind of count on.
Absolutely.
Like, hey, there's going to be Motivation Monday or Wine Time with Bradford. Woo-woo. Or all the exclusive photos that won't be out there on regular social media, but just for the supporters. So
it's great. We're not gonna cut back on anything else. Like all the content that people are used to seeing, they will see this is added content. And we're excited about it because we've been looking to find a venue to do things that are just in the corners of our mind, ideas that we're just excited to play out.
Yeah.
And, you know, put one of the things that people have been asking for is longer podcast videos. And that is one of the things that we're super excited to be able to offer our supporters.
Yes.
So there's so many fun things that are already up there, that are already accessible to supporters, and even more fun things that are coming.
Right. So if you become a supporter now, you'll see the catalog of stuff we've already
done.
So we're excited.
Cool.
So if you can't get enough...
If you're looking
Stone Cold
for
and the Jackal.
If you're looking for more, if you're insatiable,
become a supporter.
And thank you.
Yeah. And then we did Dallas. Great show.
Yep. And then we stayed. Yeah, we stayed the night there, and then drove to Houston. And we got to say, starting a few days ago, we were getting messages from people in the Houston area or people that knew we were coming to Houston saying, "Hey, you should cancel the show. You should, you know, don't put yourself in danger." And, you know, and that was something that was on our minds, not just for our cause, but, of course, for everybody else in the path of Hurricane Barry. And, you know, so, but we could see that it, you know, a couple days ago, we could see that it was going, veering more towards, you know, just Louisiana, which, which is problematic in so many ways.
Yeah.
But it didn't interfere with our, it didn't look like it was going to interfere with our plans to come to Houston.
Yeah.
So we drove. We drove to Houston after the Dallas show because it was a day show.
Yes.
Yeah. So we drove to Houston and
great drive.
Beautiful
really lovely.
I always thought that from my visions of Texas, I was always picturing like West Texas, like Wile E. Coyote and Chasing the Roadrunner. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, because you said to me, you go, "Oh, I thought Texas was a desert."
I just thought there was a lot of more. But
go, a desert.
I go, well, I don't know.
I thought you were smarter than that,
yeah,
sir.
I know, right? I just picture like Dallas. I picture like cacti and cowboys. I don't know.
Yeah, so. I'm not sure there are in West.
Yeah,
Western
more
Texas,
towards
but
the
Eastern.
Western,
we had a nice drive. I mean, I felt like I was out in the country. It was a beautiful drive the
beautiful.
Whole way down.
Yeah.
Bradford, I got a nap first, which was great.
Yeah.
Me and Jeremy. Pretty much died in the car for 30 minutes, and then we switched, and I drove, and then Jeremy and I watched the UFC fights.
Oh, dude, it was great. It was the it was the most...
Safely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Very safely.
Very extremely safely.
Glance over one time.
It was the manliest drive of them all,
yeah, it was
like watching UFC fighting in a car.
Yeah, it was a great drive.
But Sacramento's own Uriah was amazing.
Yeah,
it was exciting.
Uriah Faber, who I've always been a fan of. Yeah. I mean, California kid, but he's a big guy in your town.
You it's awesome.
Live kind of close to him, so it was awesome.
Yeah,
to
he
see
bought
him
a
fight.
Couch. He bought a couch for me once at a yard sale.
Sweet,
isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
So anyway, but yeah, so
congrats
and we
to
stayed
Uriah
at this
Faber.
We stayed at this really cool place in Houston, like kind of a historic hotel, which was
amazing.
You know,
it was a great break.
Well, because a lot of times, a lot of these clubs are built in these newer sections of suburbs, and so you get a lot of the chain hotels, which we appreciate.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
You know, Residence Inn is one of our favorites.
Yeah, Aloft is good. We've stayed at lots of great hotels.
So our favorite kind of room is, and we figured this out. We were like, oh, there's actually a name for this. It's two queens and a sofa. Two queens and a
two
sofa.
Two queens
and a
guy built like a sofa.
Built like a sofa. But that is our ideal room, and that's the kind of room. Hi, everybody. This is kind of the.
Hey,
I'm waving to
up?
Our video now.
Yeah.
This is the kind of room that works for us because there's two queen beds. And a pull-out sofa.
Yeah.
So sometimes we get two rooms, sometimes we split a room, but when we're all in one room, this is the best configuration. There was one night, in Houston, we had a king bed and a sofa.
One king and a sofa.
And then a clinger on the side, the very edge of the king bed.
And the court jester.
And the court jester that bumped with the king.
The Bradford goes, "Don't worry, Steve, I don't move at all."
"Steve, don't worry, I don't move at all."
I don't. I stay
it's
in
like
one.
It's like I'm in a coffin.
I stay in one position.
Touch me at night, you will be in a coffin
by
morning time. No.
So two queens and a sofa. So thank you, Residence Inn, for giving us what we need.
Yeah, it was good.
But in Houston, it was cool to stay. It was this old hotel that isn't, I don't think it's part of a hotel group, or maybe it is, but it was just so unique.
It's cool. Unique hotel, not a chain.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It's cool, man.
And then the next morning, we hopped a plane to Phoenix. Oh, no.
Last
night.
Yeah.
Gosh, that was last night, wasn't
it? Yeah. That's when we walked into the microwave outside.
Yeah. So here we are in Houston, in Phoenix.
I know, dude. It gets, every day blends.
Great day at the pool. And, so it's been another great Another fantastic
Yeah, so it was great seeing everybody come out. We appreciate it, as always. We thank you so much for your support on these tours. We're outgrowing some of these venues, which is amazing.
Well, it means that we're getting the opportunity to play different venues all over the country that are awesome. And Jeremy is always
he's the man.
He's vital to the success of our tours.
The gorilla glue that holds things together.
Absolutely.
He's always out. He's out with you guys all the time for years, you know, with Port Chuck and just, I mean, he's been, someone posted a picture of us doing, I think probably.
Oh, dude, that was amazing.
Our first, one of our first appearances.
Yeah.
25 years ago. I don't even know. It was amazing.
That's right. I mean,
he had hair.
The age on that picture.
the hair on the face.
She needs to take this picture down. I go, why? He goes, it just shows how old I am now. But dude, you're very, very striking, man. You look like the Transporter, and you get that often.
Well, dude, you didn't look like the Transporter when you had hair.
No, you looked like you were in a boy band. Yeah, and you had a little Easter shirt on.
It's a totally different.
Different look. Yeah.
Thank goodness for Jason Statham, because I think he actually made bald cool. Because for a while there, I was like, you're bald.
Yeah, it's Kojak and Jason Statham.
Well, you do such a great job of keeping your hair at the appropriate length for...
Right now it's a little fuzzy, though.
Well, no, it's been a week.
It's like a peach.
You never shave it with a Bic, right? You're always using...
No, I always use just a
no-guard. Electric razor?
Electric no-guard,
No guard, dude. That's crazy.
Well, I don't want a horseshoe.
That's dangerous.
You know what I mean? Well, it might be lucky.
I don't want it to be like a...
like Bozo the Clown?
Yeah, like a Bozo.
No, I just mean that what happens if you nick yourself?
Well, I mean,
it's dangerous.
He's a nurse.
That's true. You got a steady hand.
Yeah.
He does, actually.
Throwing all those IVs in.
You're throwing them. Bing! It's like a dart. I missed that one. Sorry, man. Oh, man. But it's always great to have you on tour, Jeremy.
Thank you. I enjoy it. I love coming out there and seeing you guys. I love... just talking to you guys. You guys always ask questions. I always answer. Whatever. It's just more. Why are you laughing at that?
Because you're so dang cute.
Everybody just wants to know. At least for me, I like.
Yeah, what do they want to know?
They just like to know what it's like to travel with you guys.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
You know?
So what kind of questions? Because we don't ever hear what you. What are you get, you're out there on the front lines?
It's really just like, oh, what are they like? Oh, you're so lucky you get to travel. You know, I get a lot of job offers. Well, I mean, like job offers as in, do they need anybody else to help?
Volunteer.
You know,
can I help?
That's so awesome.
You get to travel.
Well, yes, actually, somebody could. If you own a tour bus.
You could volunteer that to us.
You could volunteer that to us. Because it might make our life a
little
easier.
As long as it has two queens and a sofa.
Yeah. And then sometimes they think I work for the venue, so I get, where's the bathroom at?
Oh, sure.
Hey, can I get my drink over here?
Sure.
I haven't seen the server yet. Dude. I get that too.
Dude, yesterday in Houston, I overheard some of the staff talking. They're like, oh, yeah, the guy's manager told us that they like to do. They thought you were our manager, which is cool.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. Fine. That's cool.
Totally
but
fine.
Yeah, no, it's really just.
Jeremy's here. Whatever you need, he'll take care of it. He's been running with us for 20 years, so it's fine.
It's just what it's like to. Most of this is just, you know, what are you guys like? What's it like to travel with you guys?
Smell like? Anything like that?
I mean, I offer a lot of insights. Smell good.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's mainly just, hey, it's going to be a great show, something like you haven't seen before. Mm. You know, I just always just, you know, it's dude. Just.
We should have you outside the venue as like a barker. Like, you know, the old carousel barkers, like carnival barkers. Where, come on, there's no cold and jackal show.
He'd do it. I've never seen anything like it. What do I not do? He used to get up with me, because I used to do them by myself before you. And he would, we'd have the audience.
They wrote down questions, and I collected the cards.
Them.
Right. And did he screen them?
Well, no, not really. No, he'd come up on stage.
I'd have a stack in my hand.
And then he'd have a stack, and he'd start just kind of reading them, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And it was great because he was so, like, always.
Oh, man. It was like roast fest from him, like, which was fun.
Yeah.
But.
Just rag on you the whole time.
Oh, roast fest.
Like, that bad.
I mean, it was funny. Like, not bad. It was just funny roast. Like, it was just. It was another way to do the questions.
It's like, I'm never doing these again. No. But we had fun. Just like we're having fun now, man. It's
absolutely
amazing.
I know. It's criminal how much fun we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's our story, and we're sticking to it.
Yeah. No, another great week in the road. Thank you, everybody.
We added some dates for September and October.
Yes.
And November coming.
Well, our next show is General Hospital Fan Club Weekend in Glendale. Mm-hmm. And that's always an interesting one because, you know, it's in a conference room. It's smaller.
We're gonna have to figure something out there.
Yeah, so it's much more intimate. Some of the stuff we do in the big theaters won't work there. So we always find something unique to do there and individual to that. And then in September we're playing Indianapolis and Cincinnati.
Yeah,
I think after Fan Club Weekend that'll be our next, and we're gonna do some weekends this fall.
Yeah, which we've never done. So
which
we're
we've
see
never
how
done.
This
it'll
works.
Be interesting. Yes, we're doing Indian Cincinnati in September on my birthday.
You'll
September
be 40.
20,
wow, welcome to the club.
The Jackal is 40.
I will be turning 40 in Indianapolis, which has been a dream of mine.
since I was a young boy in New Hampshire.
God, where do you hope to see yourself at 40? In a club in Indianapolis. Yeah. And then Cincinnati. And I think we're actually playing Cincinnati and not Kentucky. Right, I think it's the like
it's
every
Cincinnati.
Time we've played Cincinnati, we've played
in Kentucky.
We've played on the other side of the river.
Yeah, it's in Cincinnati.
It's in Cincinnati, and then October we're doing
Portland
and Tacoma.
Right.
Yeah. So we've never played Portland. We've played Seattle, but I mean Tacoma's Seattle area. But yeah, so we're excited about that.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. Our
November stuff
not set yet.
Not
but we're
set
on
yet.
That
we're,
right
look,
now.
We're looking at that, and
we're working. We're looking at Detroit.
Yep.
And possibly Nashville.
Right. So those will be announced probably in the next couple weeks.
All
these dates are up on our website at stonecoldandthejackal.com. And then if you click on tour dates and appearances, they are right there for you. Cool. And it's always a good idea to be on our email list at stonecoldandthejackal.com. You just say, it just says join our list and you can click on it because whenever we announce stuff, we always send out an email blast.
Yeah. I know we beat this to death.
We do.
On social media, everywhere. Yeah. But without
fail,
every time we leave, I didn't know you were in Dallas.
Right.
Or someone, you know, hey, I tried to get VIP and they were sold out. And, you know, so we do limited VIP. And I just get on that list just so you don't miss it.
Yeah.
Because it could take us another year to make the cycle back around.
Well,
right?
That's the thing is, like, you know, we play certain areas maybe more than once a year, but, you know, we rarely play the same act specific location more than once a year.
Yeah.
You know, and now that there's more places for us to go, I don't think we will.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Man. I don't. 2020 is going to be a bear.
Yeah, 2020.
It's going to be awesome. We're looking forward to it.
Just
in general, I'm looking forward to it because we're going to be creating so much more content.
Yeah.
Right? For our supporters on Facebook. But also, just for us in general, we have so much that we want to do.
Correct.
Hopefully have the transporter with us every...
Absolutely.
Every step of the way. So that's been our week. We'd like to take time to answer a question or two. We're doing mean tweets on the road, so we're gonna leave those out of this episode. This question comes to us from Shelley, and Shelley wants to know: can the actors on set hear the music that is being played? Now, when I first read that, I thought she meant like when we're dancing or when we're singing in the nurse's ball or something like that.
It's a good question.
It is a good question.
Yeah, it's been asked before, yeah.
And so the answer is yes, but not the way you think. Like when we're doing if there's a wedding and everyone is supposed to be dancing in the reception, some people will have earbuds in their ear that has the music. Because if they play it over the sound system, it'll get picked up by the microphones.
Sure. Or what they'll do sometimes if it's not a huge thing like you're talking about, if it's a smaller one where people have to be dancing or whatever.
Sure.
They'll play like 10 seconds to the floor.
And then turn it up. Catch the beat of it, the mood of it.
Yeah, so there's a boom stand, right? You guys have probably seen these in movies with a long arm with the microphone.
Yeah, a boom is a microphone.
Yeah,
on
we have
a long
two
stand.
Big we have two big boom stands, and they usually have speakers on them. So
right.
They'll play 10 seconds of a song, and we'll be able to hear it to the floor, and then kind of get the rhythm of what it's supposed to be.
Right.
But normally, you know, if it's a scene in Kelly's or, you know, the nurse's station or whatever, any other location where there's not supposed to be live music, we don't hear that.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Like love scenes, we don't hear the music.
There's music in my own head that I hear.
Or you've never heard the music.
You're the best around.
No one's ever gonna get you down. You're the best.
Quickest around.
That is the jackal. All right. So, yeah, so you don't hear the music. So, but good question, though, because people do ask that. Do you hear
right,
the music?
But then the other part of it is, and this I thought was interesting, because it's not what I thought she meant. She says, for example, as a viewer, the music is an integral part of the storyline, often used as foreshadowing. Do the actors hear that, like those orchestrations, as they read their lines? So, like, if you're in a tag, if you're in a dramatic tag and the music builds in the tag,
right,
are you hearing that as the actor? And the answer is absolutely not.
No, absolutely not. And couples have songs.
Oh, that's right. You got your own, like yeah, right.
Right.
Orchestrated music,
yes,
that is
couples,
like...
Yes, couples will have songs. And a lot of times... couples don't even know what their song is.
Right.
Because they never heard the song.
Totally. Because right? they so, always add that in post.
Yeah.
Because you can't play music over the soundstage when people are going to be saying lines because it messes up yeah. the audio.
Good question,
so,
though.
Yeah, great question. So music is always added afterwards. Our next question comes from Jamie. Jamie DeForge, thank you so much for your question, Jamie. So she wants to know, does anyone in our family watch the show? And that's, I don't know if we've ever answered that. We often get asked if we watch the show, and we answered that in our Q&A episode last week, so we won't get into that. But does anyone in our family watch the show?
Man, you know, my grandpa's passed away, and my grandma, and they used to watch the show.
Yeah.
Lot, you know, my dad would catch the show every now and then. I'm not sure my mom does. Maybe she watches it every now and then. But,
sure, yeah.
But I don't have a lot of family members that watch the show.
I remember when I first started out.
Sure. When you first start doing stuff, everybody...
You know.
Well, I must say that once I started becoming an actor and then on General Hospital, I was getting cousins from all regions of the world that I never knew I had.
Sure. but so I remember both my parents watched it. But one thing that was cool that I haven't thought about in a while. My mom's mom, my grandmother, who I called Nana, she lived back in New Hampshire. And I, you know, coming to LA, I hadn't been back in a while. And when I booked GH, she in fall of 2006. So from fall of 2006, she died in April of 2008 or May of 2008. And so for that last year, she got to see me on TV just about every day.
That's amazing.
And that was really cool.
That's really cool.
You know, and. So, and she, you know, she would always tell me how just it made her feel closer to me. And then, you know, we lost her kind of unexpectedly. She was older, but she, one of those times where she went into the hospital for something and then just never came out. You know what I mean? Yeah. And,
It's a good question because family is such an integral part of General Hospital, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it just resonates with family. Like, we see generations after generations come to see our show. And we still see that every time, man. It's so amazing. Four generations. Oh, we love your show. We talk about it. We text. You can't talk to my phone's off at 2 p.m. Still, you know. So it's so awesome to hear the stories about it.
Yeah.
And
So I know some of my my wife hasn't really watched. Doesn't really watch.
My wife doesn't watch.
I think my mom still watches sometimes. My wife's grandmother, I think, watches sometimes. My mother-in-law is a Bold and the Beautiful fan.
What? Come on.
No, but I know she watches GH when I'm on it too. So yeah, it is definitely become a part of our family's life in a way.
Yeah.
I don't hear too many complaints from them about stories, so they're not as invested as some viewers.
Right.
I never get requests from my family to go talk to the writers.
That's awesome.
It's fun. And as Steve said, there is something uniquely special about daytime shows where it is a family affair. And
we're out there.
That's awesome, man.
Meeting them. It's amazing.
So thank you guys. Thank you guys to everyone that saw us on the road this week.
Yes, we appreciate it.
We're going to have Roger Howarth on the podcast next week.
Yeah, buddy.
And
as always, we appreciate your support, and we look forward to seeing you on the road and at StoneColdTheJackal.com.
And on Facebook. And on Instagram.
And everywhere.
And on Twitter.
Everywhere.
We'll see you on the interwebs.
That's right. The internet is amazing.
Yes. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you later.
Get ready to turn out for the dance room on Podcast One.
Join renowned veteran dancers and choreographers Heather Morris from Glee and Ava Flave as they share their onstage stories, chat it up with guests, and recap all your favorite TV dance shows.
Download new episodes of The Dance Room every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.